Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they saw a shadow figure. Why was it terrifying them and their poor dog?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. If you want to call it in, it's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also become a premium subscriber. You'll get advanced episodes, access to the massive archive, and no commercials. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You could sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's here today. I'm telling you, nothing pisses me off more than a spirit messing with your pets.
Well, I can take a lot of stuff, but don't mess with my dog.
Right? I'm like, you know, that just, when Kathy and I were just talking about this before we started recording, that my cat was acting really weird all night last night, one of my cats, and I was convinced, like, oh my God, worst case scenario. But he also, had also been acting afraid, like looking out, like, can I go out the door? I don't know. Is there something out there? Like, real hesitant to even go out the door, my bedroom door. And then last night, my dog was barking at nothing that I could tell. I don't know. So I don't know. When stuff like that happens, you wonder, is it like, are your pets picking up on something, or is my pet really, really sick? I don't know. Today, she's fine.
Yeah. But
just the idea of something messing with my pets or your children. It's like, no, you don't get to do that.
I know.
It's not fair.
And I don't understand why. I you know, I'm guessing that some sort of entity would mess with children or dogs. Children, one, because maybe they can communicate better with them somehow and get through to them better somehow. But a lot of that, are you messing with them just to get to the other people, or what is, you know?
Yeah, because
I believe you would want to terrorize children. Like, even if you were like, you know, Beelzebub himself, like, why do you want to terrorize children? And like, what's the kick in that?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
And I get, like, a grandparent or an aunt, a loved one visiting the kid. Get that. But, you know, we've come across a zillion stories where the child was terrified. Like, they saw this person in a closet, or they saw this person or that thing or that. Just makes no sense.
Yeah.
So here is this story. It says, my husband, our pug dog, and I moved into a rental house shortly after getting married. It was a beautiful two-bedroom home with hardwood floors, tall ceilings, and a spacious backyard. We'd been occupying the rental for about a month before we started to notice a shadow figure that would lurk in the dark corners of various rooms. It would catch you off guard, sometimes while watching television at night. You would have this creepy feeling that someone was watching you from the dark corners of the high ceilings. Occasionally, upon entering the house, you would catch the shadow figure dash across the entry hall. On one occasion, as my husband was mowing the backyard, he caught sight of the dark figure standing under a tree at the far end of the yard, just staring in my husband's direction. As the figure realized my husband had seen it, it scrambled up the tree and disappeared. I asked my husband why he used the word scramble to describe the figure ascending the tree, and my husband told me that the figure took on this animal-like shadow form and climbed the tree with four claw-like legs. I kind of have heard of that before, like where it kind of scrambles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I began to notice that a framed illustration of Jesus and the Last Supper that my grandmother gifted me and my husband would not stay hung on the walls of the house. No matter where I hung that framed art, as soon as I left the room, it would drop from the wall. I then tried leaning the framed art on a bookshelf, thinking to myself that the frame must be too heavy for hanging, but it would still fall from the shelf as soon as I left the room. I finally placed the artwork on the floor, leaning it against the wall, and left the room for a period of time to test whether the artwork would stay put. I was surprised to find that once I returned to the room, the artwork was face down on the floor. That's creepy stuff. Mm. One night, my dog and I were watching television alone in the house, waiting for my husband to come home from work. A few minutes into the movie, I heard a creaking noise coming from the tall ceiling of the room. Suddenly, my dog jumped from the couch and walked to the corner of the room and just sat there, looking at the corner of the ceiling where the noise had come from. I called for the dog to return to my side by the couch, but she just sat there entranced by whatever she was looking up at. I refused to look up at what she was staring at for fear of what I would see and decided I would ignore my dog. I turned my eyes back to the television but couldn't help but feeling that I was being watched. I was determined that whatever it was, I would not give it the attention it wanted, so I kept my gaze in the direction of the television. As I fought with my curiosity to look up, I couldn't help but notice that the dog was moving her head from one corner of the ceiling to the other, never letting her gaze come down from the ceiling. I finally decided that it was best for me to retreat to my bedroom. I turned off the television, and as soon as I proceeded to do so, I heard a loud hissing noise from the ceiling, and my dog leaped into my arms. Without thinking, I looked up and saw the dark shadow figure perched menacingly in the corner of the ceiling. I quickly darted to the opposite corner and disappeared. Or maybe it meant it quickly, because I don't think she disappeared. I'm going to go with it. Mm-hmm. Quickly darted to the opposite corner and disappeared.
Okay.
I grabbed the dog and ran out of the door, spending the next hour on the porch waiting for my husband to arrive. As soon as my husband got home, I told him what had happened and that I wanted to leave. He told me that whatever it was must be more afraid of us since it seemed to run and hide every time we saw it. I don't know that that would make me feel much better, but I get where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I began to ignore anything I thought I saw, refusing to let it get the better of me. One afternoon, while making cupcakes in the kitchen, I turned my back from the bowl of cupcake batter on the counter to wash my hands in the sink. I suddenly had that feeling of being watched. I could see in my peripheral vision that the shadow figure was looming over the bowl on the counter. I kept my eyes on the kitchen sink, refusing to turn and give it the recognition it wanted. I began to hear a panting noise like that of a dog. I knew it wasn't our dog since my husband was in the backyard with him at the time. After a moment, I began to hum to myself as a way of making it known it was not going to get the better of me. This woman is so brave. I would have been in the backyard with my dog and my husband going, please get inside. It is now terrorizing the cupcake batter. I cannot go on. Midway through my humming, I was startled by the loud sound of the cupcake batter bowl dropping to the ground. I spun around just in time to see the shadow crouch to the ground as if on all fours and run out of the kitchen in a way I could only describe as a large, black, long-legged dog. I did not see the dark shadow figure again after that, but it did not mean it was gone from the house. Shortly after the incident, I got a job, and instead of leaving our dog free to roam the house while we were at work, we decided to crate him. Our pug was a strong, clumsy dog, and sometimes I would come home to find her out of her crate. I'm not sure if this is a girl dog or a boy, because it says him and it says her. So let's go with her.
Okay.
So found her in a crate, huddled in a corner, dog urine on the floor with a crate on its side, completely across the room from where I had placed it. I took it as she was acting out, bored, and had anxiety being alone for so long. After a few days of this, I decided that I needed to put a lock on the crate to keep her from urinating outside of the crate. I arrived home that day to find my dog with the crate overturned and lying in her urine. My husband came home shortly after that, and he began to help me clean up the mess and take the dog out for a walk before dinner. I decided scolding the dog was useless since it had probably been hours since she had turned the cage over and urinated. So I told my husband that during dinner, the dog would be placed in the crate and put in the living room while we ate. This way, if the dog acted out, we could catch her in the act and discipline her then and there. We sat down to eat and began to hear the dog whine and whimper. My husband and I continued to eat and talk about our day when we suddenly heard a loud crash in the living room. We rushed in to find the dog with a crate on its side, clear across the room. Poor dog was shaking in her crate and, of course, urinating. I told my husband we were leaving. A few weeks later, we moved out, and I'm so thankful we did. I sometimes think that whatever that dark shadow was, it definitely was starving for attention. Of course, it was our poor dog that always gave it the attention it wanted, but at what cost? Love the podcast. Listen while I'm at work. Thank you very much, Lauren. See, that just is so mean to me, that what it's doing to the dog.
Well, okay, now I do have a thought. And one is, you know, I had this dog that was a nutty dog named Wrigley. And now he lives with my son now, and he's very old. I rescued him from the Humane Society, but he fell in love with my son, who was going to college at the time. And then ended up, my son just said, can I have your dog? And I said, that's weird, but okay. You know, I guess you can. So he has lived with my son ever since then, but occasionally I will take care of him. And he's kind of has dogtism, I call it, because he's kind of dogtistic. And there have been times where I had to go to work and I would leave Wrigley in a kennel and I would come back and the kennel is across the room. And this happened more than one time. But honestly, in Wrigley's situation, I think Wrigley was banging into it and pushing it across the room.
It's definitely possible, because I have.
And
it
wasn't a carpet. Like, I think a carpet would be harder to do that on. But he was just on a regular floor and he was pushing. And I'm pretty sure he was pushing it.
Yeah, I definitely think they can. But like,
and I think they could knock it over. I think that could happen. But with you know, in their defense on this one, it seemed really extreme. The dog seemed very scared. And even when they were home, that happened while they were eating.
That would happen fast, it sounded like.
Exactly. Like, you would know if your dog was pushing a kennel across the floor, you know.
And you and your husband have both seen this creepy shadow person thing,
right?
Scampering and crawling.
And this could be a combination of things. It could be that the dog is so scared it's pushing the crate and knocking the crate over, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just that this thing is doing it, but that the poor little puppy is just so afraid. It's, you know, trying to get out, and it's pushing the crate till it tips over and stuff. So, yeah, I think this is different than just Wrigley acting up and pushing it across the floor. But dogs can do that. With that said, though, this feels extreme to me, that this poor dog is being terrorized.
And so are they, you know?
Yeah.
And what I think's really strange is that he even saw it outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what shadow figure terrorizes you while you're making cupcakes? Like,
well, really. And you know,
dumps the dang bowl of cupcake batter.
And, you know, I know the husband was just trying to make her feel better when he said, you know, if you just, you know, like, look at it, it goes away. It seems to be scared of us. Well, that's easier said than done.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, just to go, I see you up there in the corner now, get out of here. I think that is a little trickier than easier to do.
I don't think I could just stay in the kitchen and continue making cupcakes and hum while this shadow person is over there trying to get my attention. I think I'd have been in the car several miles away.
Yeah, but I agree. Like, time to get out.
Yeah, and it sounds like it was a really good thing, because what did she say? I am so thankful we moved out.
Yeah, yeah.
I am too.
And so
can't live like that.
Have a little peace. No, you can't live like that.
It's ridiculous.
You just can't.
Well, here is our next story.
This is Caitlin calling from the Chicago area. I wanted to leave a quick story for you, something that my husband had told me. I was listening, well, we were both listening during dinner to your episode about the security people who put in the security systems. And that's what my husband does, but he is too chicken to call him for himself. So I'll tell you the story that he told me. So he's been doing security systems, typically for older historical homes in the area, for about, I'm going to guess about 15 years now. And he told me a story, I'm going to try to get it right, about a lady who, her security system went off about three times. It was the exact time of night, about 3:30 in the morning, I guess. And it was the exact same time. And so the security company had him come out because they thought there was a short in the system because it was really odd. And this elderly lady, her husband had just passed away. And my husband has said before where he's had the security systems go off while he was, like, after he's installed them, or things happen where he's updating something and a light will flicker, or there was something with the phones in, he was doing an office building and one phone started ringing and he went in the room because some of the systems that he puts in coincides with the phone lines, I guess. So he said he went in and thought, he must have done something wrong. So he went in and that phone started ringing. As soon as he walked out of that room, a phone in another room, and it was kind of like just playing tag with him. Like once he got to one, then the other one. And he said he knew that it had nothing to do with the other phones in this particular office. So I kind of, went off track with the first lady that he was telling me about. It would be nice if he'd call in and leave his own story instead of being scared. So yeah, she had said that her husband had just passed away, and he passed away in the house, and they had a motion detector system. It was a humongous mansion. And so they had the silent alarms, and then within the house there was some motion detector. And he said the first night that it had gone off, it had registered down by the, I guess, like their foyer area. And then the second night it was up on the first landing of the stairs. And then the final night that it happened right outside of their bedroom. And so he said it was interesting because usually when somebody's breaking in, one of the window alarms, if it's the silent alarm, would have gone off, but it didn't ever go off. So whatever it was already in the house. So the police come out first and they check everything and there's nothing. There was nothing. So that's when they called my husband because they thought there was a short in the system. So he's the tech guy. So, and he just told her, he said, you know, I've seen this happen before. And he said, I don't really know what you think of certain things, you know, and he was kind of feeling her out because, you know, he can't really say that kind of stuff. And she said, oh, do you think it's the ghost of my husband? I do too. And he said, yeah. He goes, so if it's scaring you, maybe say something aloud. It might go away. So he tells me stories. I think I hear something at least every other month from him in these really old homes and these really old buildings that he works in that has offices. And a lot of them are converted from other things. There was one in particular that he worked in that was a funeral home that was converted to a house. That was pretty interesting, but I won't take up any more of your time. We love you guys.
I want to hear the funeral home one too.
Oh my gosh.
You know, you don't really think about like the guys doing security systems, the guys who come and install your cable or your internet or whatever it is, they come to your house. Imagine all of those stories that those people have.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I don't think there are, let's just put it this way. There are a few things more frightening than when somebody says, it's already in the house.
Yeah.
Oh, God. My heart just sunk when she said that. Like, I'm like, it's already in the house.
And you could tell because of the alarms that are going off. Mm-hmm. There would have to be the initial entry one.
Yeah, and if it's motion sensitive, it's being tripped off already in the house, not around the perimeter some way coming in, you know?
And if you live, like she described it, as a large, like, mansion kind of home, these people have money, so they're putting in a high-dollar security system, not just the Ring doorbell on the front door, you know, because she said something about windows.
So when these things are tripped, are they tripped by weight? By mass?
I thought it was motion.
So just... What constitutes motion, I guess, is what I'm asking. Does it have to have some mass behind it? Or is it like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, and you hear like a lot of the security systems now, they'll even say it can distinguish between an animal versus a person on your front porch in the middle of the night. So... the animal, it won't set off an alarm, but the person on your front porch in the middle of the night.
So
it would.
Is it detecting?
So it might be a size thing.
Yeah, or weight thing. Or like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what exactly are they detecting that moves? Would just a shadow crossing be enough to make that happen? And the size of a shadow tell you what? You see what I mean? Like, I would. I know this is weird, but I guess the point I'm getting at is if it's some sort of mass based, then why would a ghost set it off? Because a ghost would not have mass, right?
Well, you need to talk to someone way smarter than me who designs that shit, because I don't know.
Well, but I want her husband to call in and talk to us about this. Because
he would know. Kathy, her husband's dead. No.
The security husband. Like, when he would call, he could tell me all these things. And the reason, and you know, because he seemed concerned. So I'd like him to explain to us how an entity could trip it. Because he's the smart guy here. And he knows exactly how this would happen. And he seems to think it's possible. So I guess I would just like to know from him, how is it?
Or somebody who does that kind of work.
Yeah.
Somebody smarter than us.
Does Matt from Oklahoma work in security? Maybe he can call
in. He's a police officer.
He might know. But I'm just thinking, you know, that I would like somebody to, I mean, I guess I could try to Google it, but I think somebody could explain it better to all of us. Like, exactly how does this trip, and how would an entity possibly trip it?
Because, you know, he went there with the homeowner. Like, mm-hmm. There's no explanation for this to go off. Do you think? And she's like, oh, do you think it's my husband?
Like, yeah, and that's why I'm saying he believes it. I just want to know what it is about an entity that could make it trip.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay,
because
so...
he believes it. I mean, he suggested that to her, so it must be a possibility. I'm just interested in how.
So we do need someone smarter than us.
Yeah. If she could call back or have him call us and... chat with us about how that could happen. He could just leave a little message on the thing and say, here's how it could detect an entity or a spirit
because
of some sort.
Because he's the professional and he doesn't have any problems thinking that a spirit could set off motion detectors.
Exactly. I just want to know how.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all.
We need someone smart to call in and let us know.
Yes.
So you can call in.
All security guys. Yeah. Call us
at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And don't forget, if you want, you could be a premium subscriber. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.